Back in August, Glenda Ritz made a prediction. She said she'd win her race, but admitted that without the support of Democrat John Gregg in the governor's office, it would be a bad 4 years for her. Yet Tuesday night, when Ritz took the stage to give her victory speech,
Superintendent of Public Instruction,
she touted her credibility with state lawmakers and her ability to work across the aisle.
I'm an educator. I think I'm a respected educator among the legislators. Remember, the last 4 years, they've seen me. They've heard from me. I've testified in many arenas.
An outspoken critic of Tony Bennett, Ritz mobilized the state's teachers' unions to campaign on her behalf. Voters dissatisfied with the direction Bennett's policies were taking Indiana classrooms gave her a mandate. But it's unlikely Ritz will be able to exercise it with a Republican supermajority in the legislature. Governor-elect Mike Pence suggested Wednesday that state lawmakers would enact Bennett-era initiatives with or without the state superintendent's support.
I believe in our candidacy, in the election of a supermajority in the House of Representatives, we have a strong affirmation of the progress on education reform.
Les Lankowski studies education policy at Indiana University's School of Public and Environmental Affairs. He says Indiana doesn't necessarily need Bennett in the superintendent's office to stay the course on education overhaul, because at this point, the changes are already written into state law.
You'd really need a change in the governor's chair and a significant change in the state legislature before you'd see something I'd call a rollback. You might tweak, but not rollback.
David Dressler is the executive director of the Center of Excellence in Leadership of Learning at the University of Indianapolis. He says part of the problem is Indiana's No Child Left Behind waiver, which could make a shift in priorities difficult, even if Ritz had the support of her own party in the State House.
The waiver with the federal government does require many of the reforms that Dr. Bennett has championed.
Ritz has said she doesn't want to run afoul of any rules that would put Indiana's federal education funding in jeopardy, but that hasn't stopped her from criticizing the state's accountability system. When the Indiana Department of Education rolled out letter grades last week, Ritz attacked the growth model used to calculate each school's rating. But that's where IU professor Ashlyn Nelson thinks Ritz might find some flexibility.
What I can see is maybe tinkering with the measures underlying the ranking system, and also being more clear about the extent to which schools are sanctioned based on their ranking.
One of Ritz's campaign promises was to return local control to schools, an idea that won her a lot of support from teachers. Nelson says it's likely Ritz will be able to make some movement towards her promise, perhaps revamping Indiana's teacher evaluation model so educators feel supported by the state instead of threatened. But it's less likely she'll be able to make the same strides on Indiana's voucher law, which she also opposed during the campaign. For his part, Bennett congratulated Ritz for running an effective grassroots campaign. But he also remains steadfast in his belief that Indiana has the right idea on education overhaul.
Again, no one will convince me that these aren't the right policies, and we can argue that all night long.
Ritz and her supporters say it's that mindset that cost Bennett the election. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Ellie Moxley.